and it's finally here. So I want to welcome all of you this evening, and I trust you've been in prayer. This is the work of the church. And all of us who are here need to be involved in the work of the church. And it is God's work. For those of us who are believers, church is something that we sometimes say we do, but that's actually not correct. We are the church. And we're only getting a taste of fellowship here as a body because of this song we just got done singing. I want to look at number 76 here that we sang, How Great Thou Art, for just a bit here. But thinking about the idea that we have a little bit of heaven before we get to heaven, because we have a God that was willing to lay down, I don't know if I want to say his son's life. His son was willing to lay down his life and listen to his father so we can have life. So our heaven that we're just getting a taste of now is just the beginning of what we have throughout all of eternity. And I get excited when I think about that. Number 76, How Great Thou Art. As I was singing there and just thinking about verse 3. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, send him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And as I sang that, I thought, you know what? That's the reason we can be here together as a body of Christ and be called the church. Because he was willing to give his life for us. None of us had any way to pay that debt. But he did. And he was willing to do it. A couple of announcements, and then I'd like to read a scripture. If I'm understanding correctly, tomorrow we're still having the men's and boys' coffee connection here at 7:30. So be here if you can, men, boys, tomorrow morning at 7:30 for the men and boys' coffee connection. Also I should have written down the date here. Not this Sunday, but the next Sunday is a choose offering. So this Sunday we're going to want to vote for that choose offering. So be in prayer for that. I'd like for us to look at one verse this evening. You're welcome to turn there if you'd like to Ephesians chapter 4. One verse I want to read there. And Paul here is talking about the body of Christ, the church. And I want to read a verse. I'm going to read this in the NLT so it's just a little bit clear. But he's talking here about Jesus relating to the church. And it says in verse 16, Jesus, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And I thought, you know, that's exactly what we're looking at as a body of Christ. We want to be growing. We want to be healthy. And we want to be full of love. And as I read that, I thought, you know what? I can't point at anybody else here tonight. I have to look in the mirror and ask myself, is that really who I am being? Tonight we're looking at taking nominations for deacon. We want the body to work together to grow strong. Even more than numbers, we want depth spiritually. And that's what we're looking at, the church working together in unity and growing. I don't really think I have any other announcements this evening. Any other announcements that you might have tonight? Many of you know, probably most of you here tonight know Dean and Sheila Amstutz. They used to attend here. How many years ago did you leave here?
Probably 23 or so.
Wow. Time does fly. But they live up in Hillsdale, Dean's pastor up there. And we've asked them to come and to help us with the ordination. So I'm going to ask you to come up, Dean. Dean is going to give us a little bit of a rundown of the weekend. And, just be here to lead out in our ordination weekend. Would you please stand and we're going to pray. God, this evening we are so grateful for you being willing to send your son. Lord, we've stated that so many times, but we are still grateful. We love you, Lord. We pray that you would just give us wisdom tonight. May your Holy Spirit work here tonight. May we sense your Spirit amongst us. Father, speak to us through the words that Dean shares. And Lord, as we in prayer, write down a name that you have given us. We ask, Lord, that you would use that to build your church, that your name could be glorified. Give us listening ears tonight, open hearts, and bless Dean as he shares. In your name we pray. Amen. Bless you.
Thank you. I'd like to greet each of you in the name of Jesus again this evening. It is good to be back, and I trust we'll have a good weekend together. Looking forward to it. I know it's a big weekend. And I appreciate what Lynn shared already, as we continue to build the church, and we need people to fill, be in responsible areas there, and to fill places that the church needs, right? So anyhow, yes, looking forward to this weekend. And as I was thinking about this weekend, and probably the biggest thing we can do is pray. And prayer, don't underestimate prayer. And, it's just a wonderful avenue that we have to pray and to be in touch with someone who is so much greater than we are and who knows so much more than we do. And so what a challenge that is. You know, prayer not necessarily comes natural. I wished it would a lot more than it does. But take time to pray, especially for this weekend. We do want to take the nominations this evening. We'll do that here after the message. And I'll have some announcements as we look forward to that. But first of all, for a message here this evening, I've entitled it, "And the Church Marches On." And, you know, the church, it's already been mentioned about the church. You know, it's not going to go away. It is the Church of Jesus Christ is here, forever settled, I believe. Not here on this earth necessarily, but hopefully in heaven for sure someday. But, you know, the backing of the church is wonderful. And I'm not talking necessarily about a certain building, a certain place, but maybe the entire Church of Christ across the world. But also is for sure for our local communities. So think with me for a few minutes about what the scripture says about the church. Because when I think about this, it gives me strength. It gives me hope. And that is what we need sometimes as we face life. And I'm not saying in this situation necessarily, but it does apply, because that is why we need leadership and need leaders, and in this case, a deacon. So the church marches on. You know, as I thought of the wars that are going on, the conflicts, and we're familiar. We know that the U.S. and Iran and Israel are kind of at war for sure. And interesting that the U.S. calls it, what, epic fury. And Israel calls it the lion's roar. And, you know, God has a battle going on with Satan right here on this earth. And I don't know what necessarily is called, but maybe it's called Operation Universe. I don't know. As I think of this big battle from the beginning of time, really, when sin entered into the world there with Adam and Eve there. So as I think of that, then I think of who's going to win. And the battle there that rages, and I think of what the Scripture says. And so turn with me, I want you to turn with me to a few Scriptures here. Matthew chapter 16, we'll recognize this Scripture. But as we think of the base, the rock, the foundation of the church, and that's who Lynn said we're a part of that church, and I believe 100%. And so be encouraged tonight here at the first part of the message about the church and what's going to happen in this universe. Okay, Matthew 16:18, he's talking to Peter. Jesus is talking to Peter, and he says this, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And some people would take that rock to be Peter, but we don't take it to be Peter. In fact, if you read back in Peter's epistle there, he says very clearly that rock, it was not him, but it was Jesus. And I won't turn to that, but in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, "To whom coming," this is Peter talking, he's writing, "to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." And so he's saying there that he's seen. He said he was an eyewitness. Peter did. He said there in 2 Peter 1:16, he says, "I was an eyewitness of this man, Jesus, and he was a wonderful man." And I'm paraphrasing now there. But then he's writing here also, but he's saying he was like a living stone. Maybe men disallowed him or didn't listen or were disobedient. But he says he was chosen of God and precious. And then he writes in chapter 2, verse 6, he continues writing, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone." And that's a prophecy from the Old Testament, that chief cornerstone. But recognizing Jesus as being that cornerstone. Paul also mentioned that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So that foundation, that cornerstone was there. And then I'd like us to turn to Daniel chapter 2. I love this scripture because God gave a heathen king, Nebuchadnezzar, a heathen man, I would say, quite a dream. In fact, a dream that he couldn't remember. And so Daniel, God gave Daniel the interpretation, but something very special in that dream that tells us something very great as we think about the church. So Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, Daniel tells him, that he's seen this big statue, and it was of different metals. The head was of gold, and on down, the legs, I believe, were of iron and clay, and special meanings there. And amazing of what this dream meant. And then I'm going to read verse 34 here. I'll let Daniel chapter 2, verse 34, and then we'll go on to the message. Well, this is the message, you know, I guess so. I shouldn't say that. You guys are getting scared. Don't leave. No, don't leave. So anyhow, Daniel chapter 2, verse 34. Daniel's talking to King Nebuchadnezzar about this this big statue. "Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." And now Daniel's going to tell Nebuchadnezzar what the dream meant. And then I want to just skip over because of time to verse 44. And in verse 44, Daniel says, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom." And I want to mention that these different metals that were in this image were different kingdoms. There was four kingdoms there. And he says, "In these kingdoms shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. And so with that stamp of approval from God himself, he says, this is what's going to happen. And I don't know, I'm not going to try and explain this dream all tonight, but I'll tell you what some of it means to me. Now, it says that this stone, which was cut out, I just want to get that. Thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, tells us that something supernatural was happening here. It wasn't from this earth, because there was no hands that did this. And so God himself set this kingdom up. He sends this stone, which I believe was Jesus Christ, according to the scripture, this cornerstone, and it demolishes this image. Well, I don't believe this evening that we're to use force and conquer the world like some people have. I don't think that's what this scripture is saying. I believe that this scripture says that these Christians, this kingdom of God, will consume or infiltrate all the earth, the whole thing. And it can't be stopped. Men have tried to kill people, to kill the Christians and to put them in prisons. And we know all of those stories, and you can't stop it. And so we're a part of that this evening. And so as we think of continuing the church, I get excited because this is part of it. God is behind it. He says it won't ever be destroyed. There's no way they can do it. And it will stand forever. And the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof sure. And so I'd like to meet Daniel someday. I really do. What a wise man. He didn't interpret these dreams on his own. We know that. But God gave him amazing. It was just amazing. Something to a heathen king that goes throughout the end of time, thousands of years later. And you know what? It hasn't been destroyed, and we know that. And so let's not let us be the ones to give up, right? And so I'm excited about that as we think of that. And are you 100% in this evening? Are you ready to continue the work and to do what we can do? We all have different jobs. Lynn was there in Ephesians chapter 4, where he's talking about the Bible, the body. Not everybody is a hand. Not everybody is a nose. But we all have different things we can do. And so that's just a great thought tonight as we the cry goes out throughout the ages, what will you do in the kingdom of God? Well, for an outline tonight, I want to look at an example in the scripture where they, probably one of the clearest ones, where they ordained deacons, not just one, not just two, but seven. And we're not doing that this weekend, although I did think about this. You know what? The church ought to be full. I'm not putting, our church is, I'm sure, much the same as yours. Not everyone may be excited about being a deacon tonight, but the church ought to be full of workers, okay? And so maybe we should go for seven deacons, but probably not. Just one is enough, okay? I want to turn to Acts chapter 6 and just read the first seven verses. I won't spend a huge amount of time here, but it encourages me. You know, God has set up here much this way that they operated here in the church here in Acts. Maybe a lot of how we do it even now today. And I'm encouraged by that. I'm encouraged to have an example like this that we can kind of follow after on how to set up leadership in this way. For an outline tonight, I have 3 points. First of all, a need. Secondly, a resume. And thirdly, a response. And so we want to look at these this evening for just a few minutes. So let's read Acts chapter 6, the first seven verses. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And so here we have the need. Let's talk about the need, first of all. And, you know, throughout time, there has been needs. And churches, we have needs. And so they had a need. What was their need? Their need was that the Grecians or the Greeks there and the Hebrews, the widows. So there was a lot of widows, right? We don't see that so much today, maybe. But back then, because of maybe disease and sickness, you know, maybe more people died. Maybe it was war that they were taken. I think there was more widows back then. And so they took care of these widows. The church did. But there was a problem in the daily ministration. And as I was looking at that, some of the things I found there is that maybe in the food distribution, maybe in the feeding of these widows, it seems like the Hebrews were getting maybe taken care of better than the Greeks there, the Grecians. And so there was, just some disturbance there, and they were neglected. And so there was a need. And so they came to the disciples, and I think they're talking about the 12 disciples there mostly. I don't know all that for sure. But they said, hey, we have a problem here and we need some help. And some people aren't getting taken care of like they should maybe there. And so the 12 said, well, we want to continue to preach. We want to spend our time spreading the word in that. Let's find some more people to help. And so that is what they did. And so it's not that we don't have needs today. We have needs. There's people who are lonely, people who need encouragement, who need help, and even financial help, of course. And so there was the need, and it doesn't change much down through history. There's a lot of needs around us, and we're all called to help in the needs, not just the deacon. As I was thinking about this, the deacon can't do everything. Yeah, it takes a lot of help and a lot of all of us to help. You know, as I think of this, there's a reminder, and that is God provides spiritual gifts, and we know that. And some of those spiritual gifts deal with helping other people in this way, as what we would see in a deacon. And we all have some of those gifts, for sure. And so one of the things that I also had to think about back there in the church in Acts, and that is, it says there that they had all things common. And I think they did. They pooled a lot of their stuff together. And you see that actually in a couple different references there in that early church. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They were going to bring their money after they sold that land, except they were going to keep a little bit back. But they had seen somebody right before that do that, and it looked so good. And so, as we think of all things common, and so then out of that, things needed to get divvied out. And it seemed like that's where some of the problem was, some of the neglect. And so as I know we don't kind of live like that today necessarily, but back then they did. And that's where some of this murmuring, it says, came out of. Talking about the gifts here again. And if we looked, I thought Lynn was going to pounce on one of the scriptures I had, and that was okay. But Ephesians 4 is a great scripture. And in that scripture, it's talking about the gifts. But it says that, but unto every one of us is given grace. And he's talking about these gifts. Every one of us has gifts They're not all the same gifts, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But we have these gifts, and so grace is undeserved. It's unmerited favor. It's mercy, compassion, and all of those things. And so God calls us to take care of these needs. So let's look at the resume. A resume, we know what a resume is in today's world, and I'll have to be truthful with you. I don't think I've ever filled one out. So that tells you maybe how backwards I am. I don't know. But if you're looking for a job, and you can do this, I'm sure, online, many of you could tell me much better, but you say what you can do, right? A resume, it kind of sell yourself for that job. And so the disciples said what to look for. They said, look for this when you're looking for these men. And let's look at that in verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So I want to think about those three things shortly here this evening. Honest report. And so if we look at that word, honest or honesty and truth go together there. Somebody that is honest and truthful is very important. And that's what they were told to look for here. And sometimes in today's world, that can be difficult to find. And so that's a challenge. Of course, the Christian, all of us are to be honest and truthful at all times. The Bible's clear on that. But they were to look for these things specifically. These are fundamentals for a Christian life. Honesty and truth. As I think of an honest report, putting those two together, I think of a report card. And I failed again or tonight to bring a report card, and hopefully I don't have any of mine because they weren't very great. If you call D's or whatever, they were very great. But a report card is a report on what happened, right, on some of the past. And so they needed to have an honest report. It's not about promising the future, but it's about the track record somewhat. And so these men were supposed to have a good track record. Now, I'm careful when I say that, but actually before I go on with that, on the back, if I remember, on the back of the report card was another part of the report card, not about math, English, history, or science, but about, what should I say, personality? How you got along with others. You ever remember seeing those things? They're kind of scary, you know, because that's something the teacher filled out. Now, I believe that was a more important part than the A, B's, and C's, if you know what I'm saying, because that deals with life. And as I think of this honest report, that's the part I'm thinking of. Not that they're a science engineer or can do some great thing here on this earth, but it's how they deal with people is this honest report. And so, you know, that's what they were to look for, somebody with an honest report. Now, I don't think they were looking for a perfect man, because I don't know if you can find perfect people. I don't think you can. Jesus Christ was perfect. Yeah. So, they were not looking for a perfect man, but a godly man. That's what they were looking for, a forgiven man. And then had shown that by how he was living. You know, sometimes as I think about some of our, as we go through ordinations and some of our inspections, and I just want to throw this out as a caution, because it kind of hit me as I think about this. And that is, sometimes we're pretty tough inspectors. We pride ourselves maybe in that. And I'm not saying this evening that we shouldn't be inspectors when we think about filling church offices. But I think we have to be careful that we don't get into the past so far back or such things that are forgiven, if I can say that right. Okay? Because we all have had some things in the past that shouldn't be brought up sometimes, okay? And so we want to be careful. They had an honest report, but I think that's how they were currently living. Now, And here again, I'm careful on how I say that, but I know that there have been times that our inspections have, we've went way back into some things that maybe we shouldn't have, that were forgiven and taken care of, and sometimes that creates a lot of damage and even casualties. And so Ephesians 5, verse 8, I love that verse, and I'm going to turn to that. I'm going to turn to that verse real quick and read that, Ephesians 5, 8, because I don't have it wrote down here so I can quote it. But one of the things it says, and then I'll read the verse, "For ye were, but now are." Okay? And so that points us to a place of forgiveness, and I think that's great, because he was those people there that Paul was talking to the Ephesians, there, he was recognizing that, and he said, now you're different now. You've been called out. Ephesians 5, verse 8. I'm going to read that verse. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." You know, for some of those people, to pass some of our inspections, it may have been impossible. And they would have been, some gifts may have been lost. I don't know. But anyhow, I'm not saying this evening that we shouldn't think about people's lives. I just want to throw out a caution to be careful. You know, if Revelation 12:10, it calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. And what does that mean? Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And I don't know. We know that with Job, Satan was there when it says the sons of God, if I can remember right, sons of God presented themselves, I think, before God there somehow. But Satan, the accuser of our brother. Either that means he's a liar, which we know he's a liar, because the scripture says he's the father of all lies. So he can lie to accuse the brethren. He can lie against them, about them. Or it could mean that he can bring up the past that shouldn't be brought up. I believe that could be part of it, because that's damaging if we aren't careful. If something is forgiven and something is taken care of, I think we want to be careful. He's the accuser of the brethren. Okay. Second part of what they were to look for, of the resume there, is what I call the resume. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. How does that look? As I was thinking about that, how does full of the Holy Ghost look? Well, that's a challenge. We're all supposed to have the Holy Ghost. And I wish so many times you could feel the Holy Ghost stronger. I wish there'd be tongues of fire on our heads. I do. And how do you recognize a person? Jesus said this in John chapter 3. He was talking to Nicodemus. And he says, the Holy Spirit, you got to be born of the Spirit, right? That's what he said. And he says, like this, he says, it's like the wind. He says, you can see what it does. The leaves in the trees, you know, wave back and forth, but you can't see it itself. And that's what he told Nicodemus, and I find that helpful. We can see what the Holy Spirit does, but you can't see it physically. If I can say that, you know what I mean, I hope. And so they were to look for someone who is full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And so we know the Holy Ghost. Jesus in John 14 was talking about he's going to send the Comforter. And he says, this is what he'll do. And so that's some of our best learning right there of who the Holy Ghost is. He said the Comforter, he's going to send the Comforter, which means there that he's the helper. He's a helper. And he's also going to teach you all things. I have these in my notes here. If you look in John 14, you can see that. He's going to be someone who can teach you all things. So he's a teacher. He helps you in that. And he's going to bring all things to your remembrance. So that's helpful. He's going to help, in times when you don't know what to say or do, he's going to help you do that. He's going to bring things to your remembrance. And he's going to lead you into all truth. According to the scripture here, truth is the scripture. And so what a great description there. And so they were supposed to look for these men who exhibited some of these things for sure. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Now, I don't know if they were necessarily looking for wise people, not wise in this world, okay? Not great mathematicians necessarily, because those are helpful at times. But maybe That's an earthly wisdom. Okay. But we need, and I'm not saying we don't need some earthly wisdom. I'm not saying we don't need some financial wisdom or physics or inventions or things like that. But a great verse in James chapter 3, verse 17, and it says this, "But the wisdom that is from above," so this is godly wisdom. We recognize that when it says it's from above. It's godly wisdom, "is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." And we could preach a message on each of them. When you talk about being, who is going to listen to a hypocrite? Who is going to be subject or obedient to a hypocrite? What about partiality? God is no respecter of persons. And so what a challenge for us. Sometimes that's a hard one to overcome. The rich are pretty easy to hang out with. That's a hard one. Without partiality. And we could go on there. That is wisdom. That is godly wisdom. And that's what they were to look for in these people, in these men. And so may we do the same as we think about, may we follow this pattern. And here again, we're not perfect. We're not looking for perfect people necessarily, but we're looking for godly people. The third point here is the response. Look what the response was, and that's simple in verse 6 and 7. Well, what they did is they set these men before the apostles. They said, "These are the men we have chosen." Yeah. "These are the men who we have chosen, and we think these are men that you have told us to find." And when they set them before the apostles there, I think they laid their hands on them and prayed over them and gave them the charge, like we would call it today. They ordained them in that way. And so they did that. And then what was the result? And the word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied. And it's just a great growing of the church. Yeah, that's the way it was supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to happen. You know, as we think of this, one of the notes that I would make, and that is sometimes it seems such a hard job sometimes to have why should us as people have to pick this deacon, you know? Why can't God just light up a person, you know, the right one? But that's not how it was done here, is it? No. The people chose. And you know what? That's the way it was set up here. And I think that's the way, it's a good way to do it today. The people like yourselves chose. You know, John 15:16, "But I have chosen you and ordained you." That's what Jesus was saying. "That ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." You know, Jesus said he has chosen you and ordained you. And you know, we might, you know, do that this weekend. But really, Jesus, we want Jesus to do the choosing. We want him to do the ordaining. And then it's such a great thing. Yeah, such a great thing. You know, on our part, this takes sometimes a surrender, a commitment, unselfish service. And I'm not wanting to paint a bleak picture of that, but it does take some work. But it's ordained of God, and it's for a special purpose. In closing, here the message, I ask you, are you all in? Are you all part of it? Yeah, we all need to do our part. We're not all deacons. We're not all ministers, but we all have a part to do. And it's very important that we all do it to make the church operate. And you know, not everyone always is. We find that out. But we want to do what God calls us to. That's the challenge. First of all, we talked about the church, and it's going to go on. The church will go on. God's church will go on. And may we purpose in our heart. You know, Daniel did that. He purposed in his heart, right? And to be a part of that and to stay true to God's word. And so I like that. The foundation is there. The guarantee. We like guarantees nowadays. The guarantee is there. And may we be a part of it. So as we go through the weekend, may God bless us as we endeavor to do that. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, the examples in your word we're just so grateful for. Lord, your word encourages us. It tells us so many different things. And Lord, the promises in your word, we're so thankful for them. We're thankful for how that you have said that the church will continue on. And as we endeavor, Lord, to do our part in that, may you help us. May you work in our hearts. May your Holy Spirit be free among us, not only tonight, but throughout the weekend, and not only throughout the weekend, but throughout our life. Lord, the Holy Spirit is so very vital to us, Lord. And you said, Lord Jesus, that if you go, you will send the Comforter, and it will be so great for us. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We don't always understand how he works, how he moves. And sometimes we confess it's hard to even feel the moving of him. But, Lord, by faith, we know he's here. And so, Lord, may you help us. May you warm our hearts like your Spirit does. And may you just guide and direct us like the promise that you've given to us. And so, Lord, we rest upon you. We rest in you for your will to be done. May you choose and ordain for this weekend. We look for a deacon. And so may you help us in that. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now going forward here to taking nominations. We want to go into that at this time. And my throat, excuse me, as I drink, and I don't know, you don't have nothing to drink, I guess, but you have to go out back, right? No. So as we take nominations this evening for deacon, first of all, we're going to hand out in a few minutes here a ballot. And it will look like this. There's like two parts to that ballot. The top part is the name I feel God has given me for consideration. You would, if you want to give a name, you would check that box and write your name that you're nominating there. If tonight you don't feel like you have a name, you can mark the bottom box and it says, I don't have a name to give for nomination, but am willing to support whoever God calls. And that's okay too. And so that is how the ballot will look. And so we'll hand those out in a few minutes. So this evening, if you're a member of Calvary Chapel and are 15 years or older, you are eligible to vote and invited to vote this evening. It does take 20 votes to be a nomination. You have decided that as a church. To be a nomination for if it's more than one, it would be in a lot Sunday evening. But to be a nomination, you would need 20 votes here with the ballots. After we take up the votes this evening, we'll have the ushers help us in that, and they'll set them on the front table. Then us ministers will take them. We'll dismiss, and you're free to go home, visit, whatever. But the ministers, will go ahead and count the votes. And if there is someone that has 20 votes or more, we will contact Brother Lynn. We'll contact them this evening by 9 o'clock. So if you have not received a call, And it is 9:01. You're free to go to bed. Okay? No. So that is what will happen this evening. Tomorrow we would, the ministry team here and myself, will do some interviews if we have a nomination, or two, or three, or seven. I don't think seven is a number that we can get. maybe, I don't know. But we will do interviews tomorrow. And so Brother Lynn, again, will set those times up. And after that, someone will send around the hotline. You guys know what? The hotline is not a hot wire. Now, I once got on a hot wire when I was a kid, and my mom had to help me off. But this is the hotline, and so we will send that information. Who is the nominations tomorrow, okay, after the interviews? Lynn or Paul or Chad, is there anything else I missed on that before we hand out the ballots? Okay, all right. Okay, we will ask the ushers to come and get the ballots then. But before we do that, I want to ask, I'm sorry, I should have, I was jumping ahead of myself. I want to have prayer, okay? And then we'll ask the ushers to come, and I will give them the ballots, and we'll make a couple instructions to them also. So we've been sitting for a bit. Let's stand, if you're able, for prayer here. And pray with me, I mean, not out loud, but pray with me that God's will would be done, yeah, here as we go forward tonight. Lord Jesus, God in heaven, we thank you for who you are. You're a Father. You have want us to call you our Father. We want to be your sons and your daughters. And Lord, we want to be the church. And we don't want to be arrogant in this, but Lord, we want to be those who will do what you ask us to do. And God, we just invite the Holy Spirit to be here in a real way this evening and among us. Lord, help us to just have our minds cleared before you, and that your Spirit would tell us and help us as we nominate, as we look for a man who would be a deacon. And so, Lord, help us in that. Lord, we just pray against Satan and his evil desires to destroy the church. Lord, we know that's real too. And so, Lord, we ask for a hedge of protection around this building. And so, Lord, guide and direct. Lord, we pray that through the name of Jesus, where we get our power from, Lord. And so, Lord, as we vote here this evening and for nominations, as we choose, like the church there in Acts did, may you help us. And I know, Lord, you've already spoken to us. You've already helped us with names. But, Lord, again, we just ask for your will to be done. We don't want to do anything outside your will. That's our desire, dear Father. And so we call upon you to just be here and that we can feel your presence this evening. Thank you for each person that is here this evening that is interested in the church going forward. And may we all be an encouragement. May we all be a brotherhood as we do the work of the Lord. So we thank you for that. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. We'll ask the ushers to come forward, and I will give you ballots to hand out. And asking the ushers, so we're going to ask all those 15 members, 15 and older, we would ask you, if you're able, to stand up so that the ushers know who you are, and they will hand each of you a ballot. And we want to be very careful to just everyone only get one ballot. We want this to be done in a right and proper manner. So we want to be careful with that and be very careful. Then we're just going to give a few minutes for the people to fill out their ballot. And then we'll ask you guys to pick them up with the baskets again and just bring them up and lay them on the table here. Yep. Okay. Okay, those who are 15 years and older, members of the church, would you stand and to receive your ballot? Okay, maybe I'll take the ballots that you don't need. If you bring, somebody bring those back up here. Don't go out back with them. Just bring them up here. Just the empty ballots that we didn't hand out. Did anybody not get a ballot who wanted one?